After the fight, Anya and Winston had risked returning to Anya's hotel room for the scrolls and her personal effects. She had been terrified that the satchel had been stolen by another detail of the thugs hot on her trail. Not only were the scrolls incredibly important artifacts, but their secrets were a bargaining chip for Yaja's safety. Tex had kept watch outside, and when she exited, he reassured her that they had not been followed. Anya had personally kept an eye out for anything out of the ordinary on their way to his accommodations, and felt confident that they were not being observed. On the way home, she had told him everything she knew so far about the scrolls. She could see no reason not to, and after all, he was knowledgeable in such potentially bizarre subjects. She had even made a point of relaying Yaja's speculations on who was after the scrolls and why. Now, Tex sat across from Anya, his eyes flashing like big blue saucers in the light of the bedside table lamp of his surprisingly modest hotel room outside the village. Anya was cross-legged on the bed, and Tex reclined in a chair beside the radiator. Each had a can of chilled fruit juice, bought from the machine down the hall. Tex had sobered up in a bizarrely short time, as if he could flip intoxication on and off at will. Anya hadn't known Winston for long, but she felt like he was someone who could be trusted. There was a quiet surety to his words, and a thoughtful awareness in all of his actions. Generally, she didn't reveal the secret of her sword, but in this case, she had felt comfortable sharing this information with him.
Okay. So, what you're telling me is that you got a magic sword that follows you around in its own little bubble universe?
Basically.
So, what does that mean exactly?
I was afraid you'd ask me that. I wish I knew. The sword didn't exactly come with an instruction manual.
Well, just my luck to get paired with a superhero in training. Anyway, why show me all this?
I need to trust you.
You must be pretty desperate.
Believe me, I am. And I need you to trust me. Besides, the next time we get into a tight space, and if you agree to help me with this, I assure you we will, I might have to use the sword. If it took you by surprise, the distraction could get you killed.
Must be into something serious. Somebody must want those scrolls pretty badly.
Well, one thing's for sure. Whoever it is obviously has a lot of resources.
Not many scruples.
Which makes me wonder all over again, why didn't this bunch use guns?
Lots of possible reasons. They might not have had time to get their first team on you here. Even people like the ones who are after you have limits to their resources. They tend to have to fight a lot of brush fires. And anyway, the Germans tend to take things pretty damn seriously. You start flashing suppressed MP5s, even if they are a local product, and they're liable to drop an anti-terrorist unit on your head like a big old sledgehammer. Don't matter who you are.
Good point.
Still, doesn't mean we can get complacent. If the bad guys feel confident enough, or desperate enough, they'll likely take their chances using whatever means they have. And if they are connected, smart, and mean enough to do it, it's not entirely beyond the realm of possibility to think they can come around and convince the Germans that we're the terrorists.
I hadn't thought of that. Do you think they would?
No telling. My gut tells me they won't. For all the noise that gets made about everybody being in this global war on terror together, it's no such thing as a no-questions-asked op like that. German intelligence will have plenty of questions, and they're not boys and girls who like to stop before they get themselves some answers. To be honest, if the Germans or any other government weren't a concern for whoever's after you, frankly, y'all'd be dead already. You and this poor little kid both. It's just a good idea to be aware of the possibility. So, why didn't you just whip out your magic sword and bisect a few of those yahoos back there? Was it because they didn't show guns?
It's complicated. I don't have much trouble killing in self-defense or to protect the innocent, but...
My old Taekwondo instructor used to say it was a misuse of TKD not to destroy someone who was aggressing against you. But, just the same, it was part of the student oath we always recited at the beginning of class. Never misuse the art.
The rules are just something I have to work out for myself. I just take it as it comes to me, I guess.
Well, If I'm dealing with somebody who doesn't want it to get too easy to kill people, regardless of the reason, I reckon I can live with that. It's a lot easier than the alternative.
Anya sat cross-legged on the bed of her new room just a few doors down from Tex, her laptop open before her. Much of the past master production crew had headed home already, freeing several rooms on the floor of the three-story inn. She had just taken a much-needed and highly restorative shower, and now she wore a blue bathrobe indifferently belted about her and a thick white towel wound tightly around her hair. She was checking email, her lifeline to the world and preferred mode of keeping in touch. One thing Rue had actually deigned to teach her was that life goes on, sword or not. As long as she lived, she would have the same concerns and bear the same burdens as any everyday person, along with the weight of her destiny. Her mail served to reassure her by its very mundanity. Anya scrolled down to check the email message that just entered her inbox, then scrunched her face in annoyance. A spam message had escaped her software filters. Worse still, it was a blindingly obvious scam, judging from the subject, which read, "Your urgent attention required." Poising a finger above the delete key, she froze an instant before erasing the message. The sender was Yaja. Dressed in jeans and his unbuttoned denim cowboy shirt, Winston sat on the edge of his bed staring down at the screen of Anya's computer, which sat opened on his knees. She knelt on the bed behind him, looking over his shoulder. She wore a t-shirt and a pair of jeans, but her feet were bare. She was having a hard time avoiding the thought of Tex's rock-ribbed torso shadowed inside the open shirt, even if it wasn't currently in her field of vision. Maybe surviving danger really did bring on a life-affirming response. She was tired and wired, a combination she knew to be dangerous in all ways, and considering she hardly knew him, she'd have to restrain herself.
So, let's see here. Dearly beloved, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I greet you. I am Sakimi Taylor, wife of the recently deposed president of Liberia, Charles Taylor. You must reply within 48 hours in order to guarantee the delivery of certain materials. Otherwise, my daughter, who is a mathematical prodigy of some note, faces death from the Liberian rebels who have captured her. Huh. You gotta give the devil his due. This is ingenious.
Forgive me if I don't appreciate it too much.
Sorry. Don't mean to be flip, but this really does show some imagination.
I'm just glad that it wasn't caught by my spam filters. I was just 1 second away from deleting it.
Well, close doesn't count. It worked.
So, what do we do now?
I say go to sleep.
What?
Did you ever know anything to get better because you lost sleep over it? We're going to need to be frosty these next 48 hours. Mighty frosty.
Then?
Well, we're going to need some serious nerdage. Fortunately for you, old Tex knows just where to find some.